If you had a choice of spending your working hours as a number cruncher or a wordsmith, which would you prefer? Some may find the job of, say, an accountant pretty dry, while others would think conjuring up fictional tales and prose would be the real mental challenge. But the next man we're about to meet combines the two. He's one of the continent's new generation of writers that we've been introducing you to on Network Africa. And as our arts reporter, Catherine Fellows, found out, this author has a gift for observing people and taking his readers by surprise.
My name is Christopher Mlalazi. I'm from Zimbabwe. I work as a bursar in a primary school, but I've been writing ever since high school.
And when do you write now? After work or during work?
All the time. All the time. I write after work, even during work. Sometimes if there's no one around, you know, I still time to write.
So tell me a bit about your writing. I mean, what inspires you to write? What makes you write?
This is a very difficult question for a writer. What inspires me to write? But now I think things that make me angry, things that make me laugh, things that make me, that fill me with love for life, you know, things like that, yeah.
Could you maybe talk me through it a little bit? I mean, I'm wondering how it starts. Does it tend to be that you see something, like you see a person on the street, or you have a dream, or where does it begin?
It begins everywhere. Dream. Sometimes I use dreams. I dream of something and then take it from the dream, edit the dream, put in something, some other things. Sometimes I just feel like writing, you know, maybe like telling a joke. I hear a joke, then I convert the joke into a story. Or maybe I'm somewhere, I hear people talking, you know, something interesting. Then maybe I want to create it into something bigger.
Are you always watching and listening?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Do you have any friends left?
Yes, I have friends. Yeah, people sometimes say that, hey, don't talk to him, he'll write about you. But I have friends who don't mind about that, you know. I drink, I go to a bar, we laugh over things with friends. Some even try to tell me stories to write, you know.
Tell me something about the work that you're most pleased with that you've done.
The work that I'm most pleased about that I have done is a novel manuscript which publishers are refusing to publish.
Tell me more.
It's about a guy who lives in Zimbabwe through disillusionment. He goes to South Africa to look for a job, greener pastures. And when he gets there, he ends up in crime. You know, he comes back home rich through crime. You know, it's something that is happening in Zimbabwe. People leave Zimbabwe to look for jobs. They fail to find jobs wherever they go to. They end up in crime. But when they come back, and when we see them coming back rich, we think, maybe it's easy where they're coming from. But we don't know what actually happened there. So that's the story that I like.
You say it has people are refusing to publish it. Do you think it's because of the story?
I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe it's poorly done. Maybe it cannot sell because, you know, publishers are commercial people. They want to sell books. I don't know what. But I like the story. I don't know why.
And it's not because you haven't been published before, because you've got published short stories. You have the Weaver Press in Zimbabwe, which has published your short stories. We're going to hear an extract from one of them just now. The story is called The Hand of Darkness, and we're going to hear the opening paragraphs. The main character is a very large man. Did you spend a lot of time observing fat people, and were you worried that it might be a bit rude to talk about fat people in this way? Or are you not worried about being politically correct?
No, I find it comical, you know. I just wanted to laugh over it, you know, and get other people to laugh over it also, even fat
people. Laugh at him?
No, just to laugh.
Is it all right to laugh at a fictional person?
Yes, definitely.
Tsanokaya cursed silently to himself under his breath at the sweltering Bulawayo summer weather, as he wiped his sweaty brow with the back of his hand. God damn it. If only it could rain. Maybe the rain would cool this blasted heat. And the pavement hordes didn't help any. He hated them. They depressed him. They made movement along the pavement a mammoth task for him. Tsano was built like an elephant. His stomach was huge. It rolled when he walked and his hanging jowls wobbled. To make matters worse, for a man endowed with such an enormous girth, his legs were amazingly stalk-like, as if he walked on stilts, like one of those fearsome standaris that dance in township beer halls every Sunday afternoon. He loathed the way people always stared, not at his face, but at his obese body, their various expressions ranging from amusement, surprise, to utter disgust. And he had a chronic fear of finely bodied young men. He despised their sneers. Some pavement denizens even had the nerve to openly point fingers at him and discuss him in loud voices. It hurt. One plastic bag vendor had remarked to a fellow vendor in a loud voice as Tsano rolled by, "Jesus H. Christ! He must be the bogeyman who blocks the township sewers." The remark had been followed by hysterical Mbanje laughter. Poor scum. Didn't they know he was a millionaire, that he could employ all of them to do whatever he wanted? Tsano walked into KO's department store. He breathed out a heavy sigh of relief as the air-conditioned interior of the cavernous shop hit him, as a weary desert traveler comes to an oasis. He laboriously maneuvered his way past the rows of clothing towards the cosmetics counter, amused shoppers parting to let him pass, lest he roll over them. A beautiful young woman with a petite body, dressed in the latest fashions, stood behind the cosmetics counter. She raised pencil-thin eyebrows at Tsano. Tsano placed a magazine he was carrying onto the glass counter. He pointed a stubby finger at a small bottle of aftershave on a shelf behind the young woman. Around his wrist was a gold watch that matched the gold chain around his thick neck. He was dressed in a gaudy print shirt, loose khaki linen trousers, and leather sandals. "How much is Draco?" His rubbery face was expressionless.
$10,000, sir.
The young woman did not even bother to turn around and look at the bottle. She was about the same age as Tsano's only daughter, who was in a finishing school in France.
$10,000 for a bottle of smelly water?
Tsano snorted, then abruptly walked away from the cosmetics counter, cleaving his way through the throngs of shoppers like a battle tank. He headed for the exit, his eyes stealing for the harsh glare of the sun outside. He sneered at the security guard who stood at the exit, eyeing his obese body, his eyes glinting with amusement below the peak of his service cap.
"Manchingelani,"
Tsano mocked him in a low voice from the corner of his mouth as he passed him.
"Stoodla,"
the security guard instantly replied. Zizi, the cosmetics assistant, surreptitiously glanced around the shop from under her fake eyelashes. Nobody was looking in her direction. She picked up the magazine Tsano had left on the counter and rolled it in her hand. Leaving her counter, she headed for the ladies. Inside, she opened the magazine. Between the pages was an envelope containing a stack of $500 bills. $15,000. Excellent. There was a note inside the envelope. She quickly read it.
"Hi, Zizi, my beautiful teapot. Missing you like sugar in tea. Please come to Big Daddy tonight and scratch my big tummy. We'll be anxiously awaiting you with my romantic red light on. Lots and lots of smooches. Me."
Good. She tucked the money into her bra and walked out, smirking at her reflection in the mirror.